Welcome back to the Amber May Show. I am so glad you are here with me. I have an incredible show. Watch right here what's coming up your way.
Patriots, we are currently on the Amber May Show because we're going to go in a direction that I think many people wanted more detail on. I just never had an opportunity to share it. So stay tuned. Amber May.
Please like, share, and subscribe. Share this far and wide. I think it's really informative what Ivan Ranklin's going to say on today's episode. But if please consider becoming an angel investor, 5, 10, 100, whatever you'd like to give to help support the program. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button, and donate just whatever you can, because I am not sponsored by Big Pharma. That would be very helpful. Or you can go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber there. Please join me on Telegram. I offer more content there at The Amber May Show. I'm on Frank Social at Amber May and True Social at Amber May. So without further ado, I have the one and only Ivan Ranklin joining me today.
And so you're seeing that shift completely taking place. That's why they had to censor us, because they were losing control. And then that's why we then had to respond with creating Truth, creating Getter, creating Locals, creating Rumble, all these channels. Mm-hmm. And so now they're in a position of even weaker, you know, and we're, mm-hmm. and it's this constant battle. So mm-hmm. going back to what we initially said was, you know, what kind of law do I practice? What do I do? I think, in order to correct our institutions holistically, whether it be in the executive branch, DOJ, FBI, DHS, DOD, the court systems, those judges are like you and me and consume the faux newses of the world or the news vaxes of the world if they're conservative judges. If they're liberal judges, like remember Justice Sotomayor? She's still under this psychosis that the clot shots work. The masks work, and then the double masks work better, and then the 50 masks work even better. These are the same human beings that are being manipulated by the faulty evidence that they're using to come up with their analysis and conclusions. It is on us, and knowing my background, I've taught intelligence analysis, so I know kind of how the game works. I did it for 3.5 years. And so when we break it down to like, we need to get the source documents. And if I'm not sure on something, I luckily have the network and the access 20 minutes up the street to go in person and ask these people or obtain the document, etc., to be able to get closer to the truth. Because I mean, that's fundamentally, that's all I care about. And if it happens to land to where a criminal referral has to be had on a Mike Pence, a Jared Kushner, a Anthony Fauci, a Nancy Pelosi, a Mitch McConnell, you hear kind of like, I'm talking about both sides of the aisle here.
It's both sides because it's required, been a uniparty. Yes.
That's how we, I mean, unfortunately, that's how we solve the problem.
You said
it's endemic
something.
Institutional.
You said something that was very important, and I don't want to push by it, because you said the military industrial complex gets these wars going. They make them up because they need to keep funneling money, and you're absolutely right. So you as a soldier, you're being told stuff from up top. And I would imagine you guys all believe what you're being told, because why would you guys go to battle if you didn't believe that what you were doing was noble? Am I correct? I mean, now we find out a lot of this stuff are just made up wars just to keep the money and flow going. But from a soldier perspective, am I correct? Like, you believe in it because of what you've been told by your command staff. So you keep going with it.
Right,
but
so
now we find out it's different.
Well, I mean, it's not, I mean, people have to put themselves in the like the shoes that they're asking a question about. You know, it's you believe stuff based on what you your five senses consume, right? And the training and the feedback that you get. So if you're in this echo chamber of you name the topic, And then everybody's saying it that it's true, you know, that groupthink essentially sways you in that direction to make it think it's true. And if you happen to step outside of it, and the culture in the organization is not to facilitate and promote critical thought and alternative analysis, then you're completely ostracized, right? And that pressure usually puts, you know, makes people fall back into line of the prevailing thought process or conclusion, right? And it's very few people. I mean, let's just face it. I might have been the only person within the two organizations that I was affiliated with within the Department of Defense, whether being as a contractor or in my reserve capacity, that said, and it's because of my background, right? Lawyer, this and that, being involved in in a lot of things. I said, there's just, it's not right for me to even bend a single knee on, you know, what's my status? I see where this is going. And guess what? It's not going to happen to me. And so what happens? People start to gang up and try to, right, and coerce. Well, when that happens in a manner that's not to be insubordinate, I find it as an opportunity to educate the entire institution. Most people can't withstand that. Let's just be honest, right? Like when you saw, like going back to that video, most people think that the TSA agent is an authority figure and they have to comply with absolutely everything that they say.
Right.
Well, what you didn't see, I think in between, there was some gaps in when I was recording. There was another, they had to call out their supervisor because I told them that I'm recording. And I didn't ask. I just said, I am recording. Okay. I don't need your permission. And now, if you push back against me, I'll explain what gives me that ability to record. I'll do that, you know, by all means. I just said, hey, sir, I'm recording. So while you pat me down because you're forcing me into this, I'm going to be recording. So what I recommend you do so that you're, you know, you're continuing with your policy is that you first check my phone, you swab it, you do your thing to it. And then as soon as you're done with that, I will grab my phone and I will be recording everything for my safety, and I will re be recording myself. Okay. And they had an issue with it because no one's ever checked them on it, right? Meanwhile, I've been through this for 15, 16 months. So this ain't my first rodeo. For a lot of these people, it is. And it's not to be disparaging to any of those agents. It's just that's reality. And so, oh, I got to ask my supervisor. And I said, well, a couple things I want to note while you're deliberating is that we're currently in Virginia. Yes, this, you know, the airport that I was in is in Virginia. And even so, Virginia, unless there's something else going on here, Virginia is a single party state on recording. I don't need your permission. If we were at BWI, and that is why I don't fly out of BWI, which is Maryland, I don't like, I would have to have permission of the people that I'm recording because it's in the state of Maryland, right? So like all these different things that I factor in all of my decision-making process when I'm making my moves. So then, one of the guys was like, oh, you can't record me. I don't consent. I'm like, well, that mean noted. I heard the noises that came out of your mouth. Great. Okay. I'm still recording myself. And that's just kind of reality. And so, you know, they had to bend because it was going back and forth and pushback. They realized that I'm not gonna be told what to do without critical thought. And I think most people in my career have seen that, is that if you're gonna come with me with something that's kind of whatever edgy, you're gonna have to have a fundamental reason why you can do that if it's going to start to impact my ability, my rights, etc. And they weren't able to do it. So the reason why I kind of mentioned that is that the key thing here is you have to know what the rules of the game are so that you don't let others totally trample over you. It would be like saying, hey, you're going to be a professional athlete and you don't even know the rules of the game. So that when somebody from the other opposing team cheats, you won't even know. You're just going to let them beat you that way. I mean, that's nonsense.
I want to go into the CCP thing because you are absolutely right. The CCP has infiltrated every institution in the United States. Even former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, he addressed the governors and it was on the news and you could see it. It's open source. And he was saying that I know that there are several of U.S. governors who have been approached and probably took money from the CCP. In some kind of organization called Friendly something or other, Chinese, whatever. It sounded really great. This organization sounded really great and friendly. Like, we want to be friends. No, it's really the CCP behind it. So most of our state governors have been infiltrated by the Chinese Communist Party. And then look at what we've had. And that's Republicans and Democrats. And then you look at the people that are in charge of Congress. And you have Mitch McConnell, CCP. And I'm going to guess the Speaker of the House, I'm going to guess he's probably in on it too, because he's straight up establishment. But I want you to talk about the infiltration and how brilliant of a strategy. They couldn't come at us kinetically, so they come at us within.
Okay, let's go through each branch of our government under the Constitution. And as we talk through it, we can hopefully educate folks a little bit more to get to what the constitutional framework is. Article 1 of our Constitution talks about our legislature. So we talked about one of the components. You have the Senate, former Senate Majority Leader, his wife, Elaine Chao. And when you look at her relationships with her family, the business dealings coming from that family, and they're being leveraged by China, it's pretty evident, right? So you have some sway and leverage there. How much? Unclear. But there's definitely stuff that needs to be looked into, scrutinized. And if there's something there, if there's smoke, then you kind of want to find out the origins of that smoke. Question is, what institution would be in position to do that? Well, there's an ethics committee in the House, and then there's the ethics committee in the Senate. I believe the Senate construct is similar to the House, where there would have to be an ethics referral, which by all means, anybody listening in wants to do one, and I'm probably going to end up doing several. this time around. But here's the problem, is that ethics committee it's an even split of Democrats and Republicans on the committee. So for an ethics complaint to rise to the occasion to then consequences to be had from it, whether it be censure, removal off committee, expulsion from Congress, and then criminal referrals, it means that at least one person from the other party has to agree to it along with the other group for that ethics referral to get go anywhere. You see how that stalls everything? So it probably has to be so egregious that it impacts both parties negatively to remove that individual, which, you know, it's highly unlikely, right? Now let's go over to the House. Well, before we go over to the House, let's focus some more on the Senate. I mean, we got all day, right? There's so much. I just recommend follow my Substack for some of the details on this on the House side. Because at the end of the day, when you start looking at people's voting records, and then you dig into their Federal Election Commission donations, who donated to them, and those companies, their ties and leverage by the Chinese Communist Party, it becomes very clear and evident that that is occurring. Your Romneys of the world in Utah, right? Your Pat Toomeys in Pennsylvania, even looking at Richard Burr, that might be just a more of a anti-Trump component to Richard Burr, the former senator from North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Ted Budd just took over. But there's aspects there. I mean, at the end of the day, I did a deep dive into the seven that voted to convict Trump in the illegal impeachment trial from February 21. Mm-hmm. And all seven of those have something in common. A lot of their money is coming from big pharma CCP-backed companies that made a lot of money off of China. And those employees obviously put into the PAC to fund those. And I get it. It's indirect and like two or three cutouts from indirect, but it's still, I mean, it's China-baked money, right? Mm-hmm. Now, let's go over to the House. There's a trend here. So the leadership in the House and the Senate come from really two delegations.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your support by bringing you the pillow that started it all. Get my standard My Pillow, regularly $49.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Just like all of you, I've tried every pillow out there and none of them worked. That's why I invented My Pillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs, helps keep your neck aligned, and it holds its shape all night long, regardless of your sleep position. So you get the best sleep of your life. Because it works, we've sold over 70 million MyPillows, and now I'm bringing them to you for the lowest price ever. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code, and you'll get my standard MyPillow for only $19.98. For a more custom fit, my Premium Queen for only $27.98. Or my Premium King, only $34.98. My 60-day money-back guarantees it'll be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
Hey everybody, this is Cash Patel and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin, set up your telemed appointment, and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AMBERMAY, one word, and that will help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult dose is 2. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children, so 1 tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender, I put a pill in there, I fill it with water and like some flavoring, and then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AMBERMAY, and save some money.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
The California delegation and the New York delegation. So in California, it's what? Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy.
And then Kamala Harris was from there.
And Kamala Harris and Eric Swalwell and Maxine Waters, Maxine Waters. And then you have Adam Schiff. You see how all of them are from California? And you see how they're propping up Gavin Newsom to be the next guy? It's all ecosystem driven by, like, let me back up. The whole premise here is if anybody on the planet wants to gain access to China's market, this is a whole economic play and leverage that they have. They have 1.4 billion people. If you want to sell your product, merch, service, etc. to China, you have to go through the Chinese Communist Party to do so. And the only way that I suspect that they grant access to that Chinese Communist Party market is in return, you have to do things that will not only, as the CEOs of these corporations, you know, make you money, but as part of that, you have to weaken your own country as part of the process, so that then essentially China is gaining more influence and leverage over the biggest institutions and corporations in each of these countries, so that they would then eventually supplant the leverage influence that their own governments have over those same corporations and institutions in that country. That's what we're seeing happen. And it happened very prominently on January 6th of 2021, when China installed their number one asset slash agent that they've have had leverage over for possibly decades, with a guy by the name of Joseph Robinette Gieden. So here I'm able to explain it in, you know, much more detail and at length than I was able to with Alex Jones, but I think, you know, I superficially hit it on that interview yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like,
so that's the executive branch. So when you're executive, yeah, we talked about the House. Article 2 of our government, which is the executive branch. When you have your ambassador, I don't say this for poking fun politically at Joe Biden. Yeah, you know, Biden bad and all this stuff. No, I mean, the evidence is so overwhelming and clear that Hunter Biden was doing deals on behalf of the Biden family to make money for the family, primarily through his interactions and interests in China, to a lesser degree in Ukraine, and to a lesser degree from that, working with the former mayor of Moscow's wife, again, Russia. Again, all these transactions based on, you know, influence peddling. So the argument that, I mean, Manchurian candidate Joe is just that, there's no evidence to support something to the contrary. The only evidence to support the contrary when you're talking about the bad actors and the black hats and the Intel National Security State is they have to censor, delete, ban those people that are providing the truthful evidence to then try to discredit it. And then they use the former 60 intelligence officers that signed the memo that went and published on Politico that the Hunter Biden laptop had all the earmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. And guess
what? Why are they targeting Russia so much? Why is Russia, it's so bad? Like, I don't understand. They went after Russia for President Trump. They go after Russia for Ukraine. I thought Russia was playing on their team.
If you're China, this is a global play. This is kind of my perspective. If you're China and you're trying to be the dominant force by 2025, there's several things, you know, if that's the strategic end state, you want to be the global superpower and essentially influence the globe in China's, as the Chinese model, you kind of have to have leverage and influence over other superpowers and like diminish their capability, right? What's a good way of doing it? If you pit US against Russia, that kind of ties both of them up while China is continuing to rise, right? If you, and then if you're like a Democrat and you're just unwittingly, and even like both parties, if you're thinking in order to divert the attention away from China, you got to focus on something, right? It's basically, I argue that it's a whole China play, and China is creating the necessary leverage globally to tie up some of the more influential countries in this kind of thing known as Ukraine to be able to continue to push for their rise while keeping us tied up in this quagmire in Ukraine. Assets and the domestic turmoil that we've already discussed by the capture of the institutions, and then the international play. So, I mean, they've outmaneuvered us. You know, we're identifying it. The truth movement is just on the rise, and you know, even with the international components, whether it be World Economic Forum, the global play, the WHO. I mean, let's just face it. Over the last several years. And I'd say one of the things that unfortunately happened under the first term of President Trump is he was kind of, and I understood the reasons behind, you know, pulling out of some of the international institutions. Mm-hmm. But the other side of that is when you don't have a seat at the table, you can't influence what's on the menu, right? Like you basically have to be, you have to have a seat at the table if you're going to influence it. And so by having strong, fearless leaders representing the United States at these international forums, then you have a seat at the table to just drive what's going to happen globally. It'd be nice to disengage and, you know, because we can be self-sustaining in America.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is that there are 192 other countries out there that are shaping the globe. And the best way, I think, to make sure that they're being guided, driven, or influenced into something that's beneficial to the United States, you have to be present.
So and, when is Russia going to get with the picture and start going after China? I mean, if they go after China, I think that would be amazing. I think they can overpower China.
It's not as simple as that. So when you look at things through, I'll go back to what I briefly said yesterday on Alex's shows. You have to look at things from the, this is international relations theory 101, where every country wants to first establish its sovereignty when it's weak. And then once you establish your sovereignty and you kind of can control what's going on in your own country, then you want to have regional influence and reach. And then the next logical step is that global hegemony, you know, just the constant one-up approach. And so Russia is no different than any other major play in the world over the last several hundred years since nation states essentially formed. And so with Russia, they are in this position where it's a vast territory, a declining population that has a nuclear power. But like when you look at it through the prism of the four elements of national power, which is, you know, diplomacy, information, military, and economics, like Russia is very weak in three of those four, meaning the only one that they have a capability in is a component of their military with their nuclear capability. You know, their military is not anything relatively compared to the United States. It's really nothing there. But by China diminishing our capability in the military because of these mandates, the wokeism that China has inculcated into our institutions, because their ambassador that's sitting in the White House is the one that's hiring people to force this down every institution's throat because he's doing China's bidding. And this is all downstream from China destroying our institutions. And then in Russia, Russia's not playing that game. But the way that Russia gains from the dance that they're having with China is that, I mean, it's a game that everybody's playing. I mean, there's a lot of components here. Russia is doing deals with China because China needs natural resources that they can't sustain for their population. And they have to get it from somewhere. And Russia has all of those, right? Natural gas, oil companies that need to feed and drive the economy in China. And so that's leverage that Russia has to increase their economic capability. And they need to do that at a time when they are basically rejecting and trying to go up against Ukraine to influence Western Europe. So there's this interplay of China rising globally. Russia is trying to essentially establish itself regionally, understanding they're much lesser power than China, but they also are interested in diminishing America's capability. Because if you're Russia, you're probably trying to vie for second at this point in terms of global influence. And they see this as the opportunity to do so. Again, this is just my rational, thinking on this.
Yeah, I think you're on.
And point. I'd be happy to discuss like other people's point of view and how that's not the case. But this is what I'm seeing.
Well, they've also
think about it this way. US decreases in influence potential globally. That only benefits both Russia and China. And I get it. It will make China rise quicker. But if Russia also increases, it's a win-win for them, right? And then later on, Russia will have to address the China threat at some point, because all China has to do is tell its people, like, you can now live in Russia. And if Russia does anything to you, we're just going to send the military to protect you. And poof, in like a day, China now just took over all of east of the Urals, because 50%, in order for 50% of east of the Urals in Russia to be a majority Chinese, it would require like 2% of the people to move, less than that.
What is your perspective on the border issue? You know, by now, the Senate should have declared war. We have literally an invasion.
Mayorkas is busy deploying his DHS and TSA agents to pat me down every time I fly. So they don't have the time to secure the border. They have to focus on, you know, their real threats, the real threats to their power, legitimacy, and authority, which is, you know, lonely old traveler Ivan Raiklin that doesn't even have any luggage. He's traveling with his iPhone and sometimes with an iPad. And nothing else, like Baron, no belt, nothing. Because I know that this is what they're going to do to me. I just walk in there.
Where's your clothes? Like, what do you do? Just wear one thing and that's it?
For years. I just wear the same thing for years. No, I'm joking. That's why I do an in-and-out trip.
You turn it inside out, don't you? So you can get at least two wears.
No, like yesterday, it was a one-day trip. Because I know I got to deal with this stuff, right? So I make my necessary adjustments. I still make mission. I still made Alex's show. I still made the warm with Owen Schroyer. And then I immediately jumped over to the airport to fly back. And
you're so, like, I have two shirts on, two pairs of pants on.
No, I'm
just kidding. I'm just kidding with you.
No, I mean, but that's the dilemma, right? It's like, it's a dance and it's a song and dance. I'm not just going to comply to everything that they're doing. I'm doing it fully on my own terms.
Don't you think the Senate should have declared war on the border? I think so. You have arms being smuggled. You have all these intricate tunnels that go right inside of residents' house. They go right through underneath the cities. They go right through the border. They pop into a home.
Our problem right now is an executive branch that should be doing that, that is not. So the next question is, okay, we've identified the core problem that is a problem, but then who's responsible for fixing the problem? It's the executive branch, right? DHS, because it's the federal government's responsibility primarily to secure the borders and then to provide for the common defense under our Constitution. But when our executive branch has failed us because they have the Chinese ambassador that's heading up that failed institution, then what do we have next in our constitutional construct to start fixing it? That's, we have a house. And that's why my focus over the next 2 years is going to be primarily, I like to be where the main effort is. I mean, that's kind of like leadership 101. You want to go where the main fight is to apply as much influence, pressure, and whatever you can. And that's why now that we won the house and I focused on making sure that we had a strong Speaker of the House, unfortunately, President Trump did not want to take that role.
I loved your, I need to ask you this question because I loved your whole plan when I heard it in Branson. I love that plan. I'm like, and honestly, you educated me on something because I didn't realize anyone could be a Speaker of the House. And that's even in Arizona. I thought only someone from the House, like one of the congressmen, could be a Speaker. So you educated me on
that. Yeah, so I always like that. I like the most unconventional but fastest way to remedy plan. So
no, I loved it. It was great. But
and I was on like, I don't know, 40 podcasts, and we got to a point and Matt Gaetz finally came up, and I mean we all saw that. Unfortunately,
did they only go with McCarthy? We had Andy Biggs.
The only reason that Kevin McCarthy survived to become the Speaker of the House is because of President Trump. That is the only reason.
Hey, I'm gonna get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm gonna take a quick break.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, all of these can have a dramatic effect on our investments. So why not buy some gold and silver? Gold and silver throughout history has been a stabilizer in people's portfolio. Protect your wealth, protect your assets by purchasing gold and silver. The easiest way to do that is contacting Jim, who you've seen on our program, Jim Tewalt, with EPS Wealth Management. That's Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. There you can go ahead and contact him and say, hey, I would love to get my hands on some gold and silver, especially with the electronic currency that is looming on our horizon. So if they go to a total digital currency, it might be wise to have some tangible assets in your portfolio for trading, because you never know when they might cut off your income stream. So go to EPS, Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. Ask for Jim Tewalt to make sure you have some gold and silver in your portfolio. Let him know Amber May sent you.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
What if I told you that there was a beauty product that also helped block fat? Would you be interested? I know you would, because it's something I'm interested in. The older I got, the more wrinkles that are showing up on the forehead, under the eyes. I got this Timeless box. It's amazing because the oil goes on after I clean up my face. The oil goes on and it helps with wrinkles. It helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. It's great for deterring insect bites. You gotta try it. It's amazing with that. And it's super easy. You just put it on your face and it just helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. Not only does the oil do that, but it also blocks fat. So put a dropper in your mouth right before you have a meal, and you could be stopping fat right before the get-go. So if you want to lose weight and you want to have a beautiful looking face, or if you have skin, anything as skin that you're just like, I don't like this, then get the Timeless Pack at thetimelesspack.com. Use my name, Amber May. Use promo code Amber May and save almost half off on the Timeless Pack. So that's thetimelesspack.com. Promo code Amber May and save some money for getting your wrinkles and fat loss. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Why did he back him up? He is straight up Kabul establishment. Why did he recommend that?
If President Trump even just stayed out of it and didn't endorse and didn't re-endorse and re-re-re-endorse, if one of those re-re-endorsements he pulled back, Kevin McCarthy would not be a Speaker of the House. That's just straight up.
Doesn't he know? Like, he knows he's like a backstabbing. He's not for America. He's not America first. He is for China first.
Well,
he is not for America first.
Let's look at what happened, and then we'll look at the alternative. What did we accomplish during that five-day process? Kevin McCarthy is in a straitjacket with duct tape all over his face as a Speaker of the House.
Right.
We got the rules package 100% that we wanted. Okay. Now, what if Speaker McCarthy wasn't Speaker McCarthy?
We would have had a better speaker because there was Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordan did not want to be Speaker. Here's what would have happened. Paul Ryan over at Faux News would have completely changed how Faux News operates to decimate and destroy whoever that speaker would be. Okay. Next, it would have been okay if it was a temporary President Trump speaker, because I mean, I kind of thought through this process because he still has that sway and gravitas. He's the only one that endorsed 150 members of the House. There was no one else really had the necessary leverage to push back against Faux News and Newsvax, that I call, because you got your Sean Spicy over there and some of the other traditional plays. So it's a power struggle. I mean, it was like Alex said perfectly yesterday. It was a raw display of power in the public eye of the friction that was occurring on the different influence and power groups. And guess what? Real Team 6 did an entire 6 out of 435 or 222 members of Congress in the Republican conference literally dictated the terms to the rest of the conference. And the rest of the conference didn't think that they thought that they were going to win in the game of chicken. Well, guess what? They realized that they were going to take it, even with President Trump's endorsement and re-endorsement, the Real Team 6 Patriot posse was going to take it, if necessary, for 2 years for the whole Congress, unless the rules package was accepted. And I think they started to feel the pain, because the longer this drug out, the more people, we're getting like hundreds of thousands of views on some of the alt media that I was jumping into, like Badlands Media. What does that mean? That means those that are watching Faux News are not watching Faux News, and they're going over to Badlands, to InfoWars, to your show, etc. And so they were reaching a point where like, ooh, like the gig's going to be up unless you accept to their rule package.
Right.
Because the gig is up. Once you lose people's attention and you lose like trust and credibility, it's extremely hard to regain.
That's
a lot of like, in order to sell anything, you have to have people's attention. So when Faux News can't get eyeballs on their program or any other place, then that means they have to like regain it. And in this instance, Faux News would rather work with, you know, the Commie News Network and MSDNC, because they're the established incumbents, than lose it all, right, to some independent journalism and journalists.
Well, that's a good perspective.
Hopefully that gives you a little bit of perspective. So we got the best scenario with a Kevin McCarthy in place. Like,
because I was like asking myself, do we have that much establishment Republicans in House that they wouldn't vote for anyone else? But
we had the terrific 20 and we had the Real Team 6.
I can accept that.
And so bottom line is, people are like, oh, we lost. No, this is not like the game doesn't stop in this, like in professional sports or whatever. The buzzer ends, or like, you know, ninth inning ends, and then the game is over. Well, in politics, it's a continuum. So the speaker race, it happened, but guess what? Like in 4 minutes, Matt Gaetz could just wake up and say, or he could be like, you know what? My nap's over. He doesn't, I don't know if he napped. I'm just giving you, you know what? Before I have my coffee, I'm going to go on the House floor and just go do my motion to vacate the chair. Okay, that's a long shot, but how do we get him to do that if we want him to do that?
Mm-hmm.
We create so much content to demand that Kevin McCarthy release the 14,000 hours of tape, mm-hmm, and pull back on the criminal referrals for the J6 mm-hmm defendants, yep, and Navarro and Steve Bannon to a fever pitch that some of these members of Congress see that, ooh, this is a really cool political opportunity here, and I have the country's backing to do it,
yeah.
So I'm going to do it. And plus, it's the right thing to do. And if you have millions and tens of million people that are demanding this at this point, with the Twitter files release, all this, then we reach a point where, like, Kevin McCarthy is going to, for his political survival, will have to release the 14,000 hours of tape. That was the whole point of, like, demanding it yesterday. And I'm going to do it every single program that I'm on. I don't care about you talking about releasing the tapes. You haven't released them yet. You're a total scumbag, in my opinion. And you know what? Luckily, I have access. Like, I have all these, I probably have over 200 members' personal cell phones and emails. So when I come up with something, I have the ability not only just to make noises publicly like I am with you, but I'm also able to say, hey, by the way, this is something that's being discussed in the court of public opinion, and look at how many people saw it. You may want to listen.
I love that.
And then they make a decision on how they want to proceed.
It's been such a honor and pleasure to get to know you and meet you. And I am so grateful to have you on my show, because I had so many questions to ask. So
we'll only scratch the surface again.
What?
We'll only scratch the surface. Yeah.
Wow. That's
because I'm involved in, like, all these different things.
Well, I had so many questions on so many things that only someone like you who knows this stuff I could ask. So it's like, and as you're talking, more questions come up to my mind, and I want to have you back on so bad. Can I finish
just real quick? I want to close up with we started talking about the General Flynn thing. I felt like I didn't really even, like, I barely even scratched the scratch, right? So when they resigned General Flynn, 2014 happens. The next year, he basically has a meeting with candidate Trump, or not even candidate Trump. With businessman Trump, and was like, hey, I kind of don't like where this country's going. Are you serious about running for president? And Donald Trump convinced General Flynn that he was serious. And so then he became he was unpaid. It was just like volunteer advisor based on his background. And then as soon as Mikey Pence was foisted on Donald Trump to be you've seen some of my interviews on this, right?
No, not on the Mike Pence part, getting hoisted on Donald
Trump.
Yeah,
when he was hoisted on Donald Trump, within 2 weeks, Crossfire Hurricane launches. And I suspect Mike Pence had his fingers on all of it, because he was on the Judiciary Committee for a decade. He was the one that wrote the Patriot Act, by the way, in the House was on Judiciary, when he was a congressman. Yep, he was a co-author.
I didn't realize that.
So was it Mike Pence that put me on the secondary screening list?
Of course.
Maybe. Well, I want to investigate that. And how do we investigate that? Well, with the Church 2.0 Commission and Committee. Let me finish with this. We're going to be able to expose everything and exonerate and clear everybody's name, from President Trump to General Flynn to Devin Nunes to Kash Patel to everybody. And then on the flip side, create consequences for the 60 former intelligence officers. And then your James Comey's of the world, Andrew McCabe, Andrew Weissman's, Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, Joseph Pianka III, Rod Rosenstein, and the list goes on and on. Chief of Staff, the three former chiefs of staff for
James
Pence,
Baker.
Mark Short, James Baker, the attorney, Vijaya Gadde at Twitter. I mean, we're going to basically need to go complete scorched earth truth exposure. Mm-hmm. And I'm so looking forward to be instrumental in making those lists happen. And I'm going to be doing it. And I know I've been delaying this. I've been wanting to do this, but so many interviews. My Substack, I'm going to be publishing kind of how I think this is going to play out. Remember, when I put stuff out, whether it was Pence card or Speaker Trump, remove Rana, for example, like tomorrow morning, I'm going to be speaking down in Sarasota, Florida, to push against the Republican Party of Florida to recall their support for Ronna Romney. Because remember, on January 27th, that's when the election is for the RNC chair. And so I'm going to be going down there. Actually, I'm going down there tonight to speak tomorrow morning in order to convince people why she is, like, the worst thing for the party now moving forward.
Who are you standing behind?
I'm backing, and this is in no way, shape, or form to disparage anyone else other than Ronna. But I'm backing Mike Lindell.
I do too. I'm a precinct committeeman in Maricopa County. I just didn't. I have so much.
He's put everything on the line. I mean,
yes, he has.
We've already seen how he operates. the risk he's willing to take to do the right thing.
Yep.
And while Harmeet, you know, I have nothing bad to say about her,
but
she has not, she not even close.
No.
And it comes down to like, what have people done over the last several years when our country has been literally taken over by what we just discussed? And while, you know, brilliant lawyer, she's fighting the good fight. She's been in the system.
She's great.
You know, I suspect she's trustworthy. You know, she just, Mike just took so much more risk for the right reasons that he has earned. He has earned it, in my opinion.
And he gave us earned that position. He gave us Frank's speech, where she, you know, she,
he walked the walk in ways that, and you could argue that she just didn't have that opportunity platform.
Right.
And I get it. And that's why I say it's nothing.
She's not a bad person. That, I just think Mike Lindell's the better candidate.
No, it's like, who's the better athlete? Is it, you know, Michael Jordan or Babe Ruth? Right. You got to make a decision.
I have to have you back on. I have to. This was so good. I learned so much from you. I'm just so grateful for you to be on my program. So I will have to contact you. And we're going to schedule this again.
Okay. Sounds good. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Amber.